This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Day two of the hearings, but Democrats are very, very nervous that this is not working and backfiring on them. Wait till you hear the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi. Is she going to pull the plug on impeachment? She should, because it's not working for them. Welcome back to the show, The Cioli Show. Glad you are here. On Twitter, at Rich Cioli, Facebook.com/Cioli Show. Understand this. Politically speaking, the impeachment of Donald Trump is not going well for Democrats. It's going very well for him. It's not going well for them. And that was not the intended outcome, was it? No, it was not. Which is why Democrats behind closed doors, as Manu Raju was reporting on CNN yesterday, are increasingly talking about how do they get out of this. But first, Walter Kosh, our events czar, is at the Collegeville Italian Bakery. Walter, how did our Cioli Army shirt drop go?
Amazing, amazing. One of our best turnouts yet. I'd say over 75, maybe close to 100 people came through.
Wow. That's awesome. Holy cow.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Were you able to
this place
serve?
Is amazing, by the way.
Go ahead.
I don't want to leave. This place is amazing.
Well, have them fire you up a breakfast pie.
Yeah, they have an amazing menu.
I've never heard Walter so happy. You feed the guy. It's the way to his heart. That's what you do.
He loved me.
Yeah.
He sounds peppy.
He's peppy. He's energetic.
Oh, warm.
He's warm.
Yeah, he's
This is his happy place.
Warm and cozy with pizza. He's so happy. Well, thank you for doing that. I mean, the Collegeville Italian Bakery is great. So you're gonna get a little breakfast pie? Crack an egg on it.
Yeah, maybe I will.
All right, Walter Kosh. We'll talk to you again soon, buddy.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, appreciate it.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you, and thanks, Steve, for us again. All right, thank you. 855-839-1210. This is funny. I love Walter. He's great. By the way, I'm telling you right now, the vampiric one was fired up yesterday. First of all, she had a number of things to say, but she took a shot at the president. She was discussing exculpatory evidence. She said a lot yesterday. There's so much here, but let's begin with that. Her little dig, a little jab at the president, cut two.
Well, all this milieu is a seeking of the truth. It's called an inquiry. And if the president has something that it is exculpatory, Mr. President, that means you have anything that shows your innocence, then he should make that known. And that's part of the inquiry. And so far, we haven't seen that.
See, get it? Because he doesn't know what exculpatory means. Get it? She's very, very frustrated, as you can imagine. All roads lead to Putin, you have to understand. That's her big thing here. They're now tying Ukraine and the Russia probe together. 1B.
This had a story, a narrative about the president threatening to grant or withhold certain privileges, certain military assistance voted on by the Congress to Ukraine, which is in our national interest to do so because they were fighting the Russians. They've already lost over 11,000, 12,000, 13,000 people fighting the Russians. That's why I say all roads lead to Putin. Putin benefited from our not any holding up of that foreign that military assistance. Putin benefited by the action taken by the president vis-a-vis Syria and Turkey because they wanted a stronghold in the Middle East, and the president gave them that. Putin benefited from the president's comments about uncertainty about our support for NATO. Putin benefited. The list goes on. I won't even go into the elections. Just those three, because they're the three I have mentioned to the president when I have said, with you, Mr. President, all roads lead to Putin.
That is a lie, by the way. That is a lie. As it came out in the testimony on impeachment day number one, all right, as it came out, Donald Trump did more to help Ukraine than Obama ever did. This is the Washington Examiner. Ukraine was occasionally a hot issue in 2015 and 2016 for all the wrong reasons, right? When Trump became president, his administration enacted a new policy that not only continued a broad range of assistance to Ukraine, but also expanded the aid to include the provision of Javelin anti-tank missiles. That was the so-called lethal aid that the Obama administration had declined to provide. You understand this now. President Trump's aid to Ukraine allowed them to be able to fight back. Obama's aid to Ukraine had a poison pill in it that it could not be used for lethal aid. Did you know that? The Trump aid program has significantly helped Ukraine defend itself against Russia, according to three career foreign policy officials whose impeachment investigation testimony has been released in recent days. William Taylor, the highest ranking American diplomat in Ukraine, Kurt Volker, the former U.S. special envoy to Ukraine, and Marie Yovanovitch, the former ambassador to Ukraine, who was recalled by Trump in May. Start by Taylor. Questioned by Republican lawyer Steve Castor, Taylor called Trump and his administration a substantial improvement over what came out before. I was happy we were providing aid. It could always be more, but I was glad if it was coming. I'd be very unhappy if it didn't come. And they asked about, did the Trump administration have a package of aid to Ukraine? Yes. Including lethal defensive weapons? Yes. Financial assistance? Yes. And was that an improvement? It was. Was it a substantial improvement? Quote, it was a substantial improvement in that the administration provided Javelin anti-tank weapons. Their shoulder fire missiles successfully deter Russians from trying to grab more territory. They were also sending a very strong political message that said the Americans are willing to provide more than blankets. I mean, that was the previous, and these weapons are serious weapons. They kill Russian tanks. So these were serious weapons. It was a demonstration that we support Ukraine. That was in the testimony. Day number one of the impeachment hearings. The provide more blankets line was a shout out to the Obama administration, because the only money that could be used was for things like blankets and water and that sort of stuff. They couldn't use any of the aid that the United States was giving under Obama to actually fight back against the Russians. So I ask you, who's done more to stop the road for Vladimir Putin? You don't hear this, though, do you? You don't hear this because you don't hear this. Yovanovitch, who you're going to hear from very, very soon as the House impeachment nonsense continues. Yovanovitch, who was removed from her post, was less inclined to give the president credit for anything, but even she admitted that her preferred policy in Ukraine, lethal aid, became reality under Trump. Quote, this question asked to her, can you testify to the differences in changing aid to Ukraine with the new administration starting in 2017? The different initiatives, as you know. Her answer, quote, yeah, well, I think that most of the assistance programs that we had, you know, and due to the generosity of the Congress, actually increased. In terms of lethal assistance, we all felt it was very significant that this administration made the decision to provide lethal weapons to Ukraine. Did you advance? Did you advocate for that? He asked her. Yes, yes, she said. And then the congressman did a follow-up. Did you advocate for that prior to the new administration back in 2016? Yes, was her answer. But despite her advocacy, that aid never came from Obama. It came from Trump. Amid all the accusations flying around the Democratic impeachment campaign, it's important to remember that basic fact. But this is the great lie that the media does in this country. They constantly distract people and they don't give you the truth. So she's out allowed to spew that nonsense yesterday and nobody calls her out on it. That's what I mean. That's what's so frustrating to me. All roads actually lead to John Brennan, that lying, traitorous weasel. Today is a new movie coming out called The Report. I highly encourage you to see it. I think it's a very well done movie. It's a political thriller. It's really good. It's good. There's some parts of it I thought were a little slow, but overall, it's worth it for one thing. The depiction of John Brennan, the CIA director under Barack Obama. You have to see it just for that movie alone. So you know the story. I mean, the CIA, the Enhanced Interrogation Program, the EIT program, known as torture by many, many people. That program, which went on after 9/11 and stopped around 2006, that program was the subject of an investigation by the United States Senate, led by Chairman Dianne Feinstein of California, Democrat. Well, when John Brennan was appointed CIA director by President Barack Obama, he tried to kill it, the investigation into the CIA, because he was part of the program, you understand. Brennan was part of the Enhanced Interrogation Program. That's right. He was a torturer. And he wanted to kill the investigation and the study. So what they did was they wound up intimidating members of the committee, I mean the staff members, threatening to send one to prison. They made up a charge. And then spying on Senator Dianne Feinstein and her team. They spied. Think about this now. Barack Obama's CIA spied on the United States Senate. Did you even hear about this? I mean, did this really ever come out? This is the deep state, by the way. This is the now heroic deep state that everybody's championing. This is the deep state right there, the classic example of it. John Brennan was forced to admit that, yes, he did, in fact, spy on the United States Senate, violating the separation of powers. That is the only thing that keeps our Constitution together, is the notion that the branches respect each other enough to let them do their jobs. But the all-imperial executive, Barack Obama, his CIA did this. Did anybody ever ask the question, what did Obama know and when did he know it? Because you want to know, in my mind, what I believe is a high crime and misdemeanor? Violating separation of powers like that. Having the executive branch spy on the legislative branch? In my mind, that's an absolutely impeachable offense. Without question. Without question. It's exactly the kind of thing the founders feared. The founders were very, very cute to the idea of an all-imperial executive. It's why Congress is the first article of the Constitution and the president second. They were very, very acutely aware of how easily the presidency could become a king. And they did not want a king. They just threw out a king. In their mind, the president of the United States using his powers like that against the legislative branch would have absolutely risen to the level of impeachment. Madison would have definitely said, Hamilton, they all would have said the same thing. That's exactly what we're trying to prevent, is that the all-powerful imperial executive. Did anybody ever ask Barack Obama, did you know that your CIA director was spying on the Senate, on a fellow Democrat, trying to get to the truth about the enhanced interrogation program? Did you? No, they never did. They never did. And the ones who tried to write about it, like James Rosen and Fox News, they were declared enemies of the state, if you remember. Enemies of the state. Oh, interestingly enough, James Rosen came up yesterday. I'll get to that in a second. But this is liar James, John Brennan, lying liar John Brennan, CIA director, when the accusation came up that he was spying on the Senate, who was trying to do their job of oversight to understand the roots and the origins and the effectiveness or lack thereof of the enhanced interrogation program. This is what he said.
As far as the allegations of, you know, CIA hacking into, you know, Senate computers, nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, we wouldn't do that. I mean, that's just beyond the scope of reason in terms of what we do.
She says that there are potentially illegal and unconstitutional breaches by the CIA.
Well, there are appropriate authorities right now, both inside of CIA as well as outside of CIA,
Justice Department,
are looking at what CIA officers and as well as CISI staff members did. And I defer to them to determine whether or not there was any violation of law or principle. You know, when the facts come out on this, I think a lot of people who are claiming that there has been this tremendous sort of spying and monitoring and hacking will be proved wrong.
This guy is the guy who's out there now talking about Donald Trump and why Donald Trump should be impeached. Do you understand the severity? I know you do. I'm not saying it. Please don't take it as a condescending way. But do you understand the severity of the constitutional crisis the United States of America was facing at that moment? The CIA hacking into the United States Senate computers as the Senate was doing its constitutionally mandated job of oversight of the executive branch. And that guy lied about it. Because here's this article. CIA admits to spying on Senate staffers. The director of the Central Intelligence Agency, John Brennan, issued an extraordinary apology to leaders of the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee on Thursday, conceding that the agency employees spied on committee staff and reversing months of furious and public denials. Brennan acknowledged that an internal investigation had found agency security personnel transgressed a firewall set up on a CIA network, which allowed Senate committee investigators to review agency documents for their landmark inquiry into CIA torture. Among other things, it was revealed that agency officials conducted keyword searches and email searches on committee staff while they used the network. Now, I want to ask you a question. Has anyone ever did an investigation into this to find out what Obama knew and when he knew it? No, right? Completely glossed it over. Could you imagine if Donald Trump's CIA hacked into Adam Schiff's computers? I mean, the articles of impeachment would write themselves, right? This is John Brennan talking about why Donald Trump should be impeached. Because you have to understand, John Brennan is on MSNBC all the time now. They love him now. They love this guy because he's an anti-Trump guy now, so they love him. At one point, the left was saying that he should be charged with war crimes because he was a Mr. Drone Strike, and he would, I mean, his legacy of drone strikes is horrific, but now they love him because he's anti-Trump. Take a listen.
Well, John Brennan, it seems to me they're making great witnesses.
Well, they are.
Yeah, they are.
And I think all Americans should be proud of these individuals who are willing to stand up. And I just wish some of the members of Congress who are still ardent supporters of Mr. Trump would have the courage, would have the spine, would have the honesty to do what these professionals are doing. And it's very unfortunate that Trump's defenders continue to try to explain away his misdeeds and, again, focus on the process right now. And they are really quite hypocritical also, because this was the process that the Republicans had during the Benghazi hearings. And it does make a lot of sense to be able to do these things without the glaring lights of the TV cameras. So I'm just very pleased that the people now are starting to listen to those professionals who can expose the activities and the actions of Mr. Trump.
Well, being increasingly, obviously, in the historic role of a totalitarian, which is what he is, a man who will serve, lead his country all by himself with no staff around. We're going to get to this later in the show.
I have a question here. Totalitarian. You mean like the CIA hacking into the Senate computers? Would that... Hey, Chris Matthews, would that be totalitarian in your mind? Because, see, Trump didn't do that. Your guest did. The guy in front of you, jackass, that guy did that. You want to understand totalitarianism? It's when the CIA hacks into the U.S. Senate and violates the law. That guy's right there, right in front of you, right there. Why don't you mention that? Bring that up. Can you bring it up? Let's see if he brings it up.
Staff around. We're going to get to this later in the show. There's no loop with Trump. There's no people around him. There's no council of war. He does everything he feels like doing at that moment. But what he resents are people like you.
Yeah.
John Brennan. He apparently has an obsession with you.
Well,
do you sense that?
Well, he can be obsessed with me if he likes. He's a badly broken person who has really done a great
thank
disservice.
You, thank you very much. Go see this movie, The Report, just to see Ted Levine's outstanding depiction of John Brennan. And you understand what a lying weasel this guy really is, a snake. He should have been tried. He should have been charged. The inspector general of the CIA and the FBI both recommended criminal charges against him, but they never followed up because the deep state protects itself. John Brennan is at the very heart of the Russia probe. All roads don't lead to Putin. They lead to John Brennan as CIA director.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All roads to the Russia investigation lead back to John Brennan. That's what you need to understand. And when if this Inspector General's report ever comes out, you're going to find that out, too. All the Russia collusion clues are showing that it's John Brennan who started all this. This weasel, this lying snake, decided to use the power of the CIA to go against the United States Senate, to violate the law, violate separation of powers. But he also did what he did was he used their operatives to set up Trump campaign people to have a conversation about Russia so they could then launch this giant, massive deep state investigation into the president. They set up George Papadopoulos. They set up Carter Page. That's what happened. And if you don't think that's possible, then I have to ask you the question then. Did you not hear the part about him hacking into the Senate computers to find out what they knew about the CIA torture report and how John Brennan fought to make sure that report would never become public? The Obama administration should be called out for this. They never will be, because in this country, that's not how it works, obviously. Ted Levine was great also in Silence of the Lambs. And he actually, I think Buffalo Bill is a more sympathetic character than John Brennan. I do. That's my take on it. Like Buffalo Bill, when you watch both movies side by side, you realize Buffalo Bill's not that bad compared to John Brennan. You know, psycho serial killer, you know, misunderstood.
Very misunderstood.
Yeah, misunderstood, yeah. You know.
You know, we don't know what was going through him, you know, through his mind that he was eating people and...
Yeah, I mean, no, that was Hannibal Lecter.
That was Hannibal Lecter, the other...
He's also more sympathetic than John Brennan. Brennan was eating the Constitution. It rubs the lotion on the separation of powers clause. It rubs the lotion on the separation of powers clause, or it gets the hose again. I really think people should see this movie. They'll go see The Report. Go see The Report just to see Ted Levine as John Brennan. We'll play the trailer one more time. It opens today. I saw it yesterday. Like I said, it's really good. There's obviously a lot of left bias in there. It's Hollywood. What do you expect?
Yeah.
But I think they do a good job of showing how both sides were trying to cover this up.
Let me ask you a question. Why did the CIA torture people, lie about it, and then hide it from history?
After 9/11, everyone was scared. Scared it might happen again.
We need to stop attacks in the future.
And we are in whatever business it takes to get the job done.
Find out exactly what they did.
One detainee, they waterboarded him 183 times.
If it works, why do you need to do it 183 times?
Maybe when the report comes out, people will finally see that.
They claim they saved lives, but what they really did was make it impossible to prosecute a mass murderer. Because if what we did to him ever came out in the court of law, the case is over. The guy planned 9/11.
The CIA said the program wouldn't cause lasting harm. So how long is Gul Rockman going to be dead for?
This question isn't about our enemies. It's about us.
I would like us to be more than the country that did the report. I'd like us to be the country that made it public. We will not allow this to be covered up.
Well, John Brennan tried to cover it up, Senator Dianne. That's Annette Bening, who does a great job as Dianne Feinstein. John Brennan tried very hard to cover it up, including the character played by Adam Driver. They threatened criminal charges against him. They lied and said he hacked into the CIA's computer. That's right. So that's John Brennan. That's the guy who started the whole Russia probe. I guarantee it to you. I'm sure of it as I'm standing here right now. He is the deep state. That is the deep state right there. You know what the deep state is? It's not a crazy right-wing conspiracy theory. It's when the intelligence community spies on the legislative branch of government. That's the deep state. That really happened. You know what the deep state is? The deep state is when the intelligence community tries to cover up a torture program by using whatever means necessary to keep it from the legislative branch of government bringing it to the American people. That's the deep state. You want to know what the deep state is? The deep state is when you can get away with all that and then get a job on MSNBC. Bashing the president of the United States night after night. Making good money doing it. By the way, no, the deep state's very real. That guy should be in prison. Speaking of James Rosen, who was declared an enemy of the state by the Obama administration, my buddy James Rosen, we peed together once.
I mean,
okay. I shouldn't have said that.
He's done a lot more than standing at a urinal next to you.
We were at a urinal together at the Wells Fargo Center at the Democrat debate.
Yes, we were. But he's a great investigative journalist.
I know, but I'm always around. I'm potty training my daughter. This is what goes through my mind.
Who had better aim? Just tell us.
That's a great question, and we're still trying to figure that out. We sent a forensic team in there to investigate. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But you know what it is? It's just every day. It's Claire, do you got to go potty? Claire, come on, Claire. You know, we're trying to potty train her. So.
No, I get it. But he's a grown man.
He's a grown man. I know.
That doesn't need. Okay.
Patrick yesterday goes, Daddy, I got to go potty. He runs in the back. He's dancing like imagine like he's at a rave. He's dancing trying to get the toilet seat up and get his pants down in time because he waits until the last freaking minute. I go, buddy, you can't wait this long?
It's a boy. That's what boys do.
That's what guys do. Yeah. Hey, Dad, I got to go. And he's dancing. I'm like, Patrick. So this is James Rosen. Now, the vampiric one got very frustrated with him, daring to ask her questions yesterday. Cut three.
James Rosen with Sinclair. Thank you, Madam Speaker. We hear it said routinely, and of course it's true, that impeachment is a political process, not a legal one. And yet, as we can all observe, many of the accoutrements surrounding the legal process are inherent in this political process. We have counsels, depositions, subpoenas, threats of perjury, and so forth. This was made starkly clear yesterday by Chairman Schiff, it seemed to me, where he reminded the minority that he would do everything necessary to ensure the legal rights of the whistleblower to preserve anonymity in this political setting. And so I wonder if you could explain to the American people why the legal rights of the whistleblower should prevail in this political setting over those of President Trump, who should ordinarily enjoy a right to confront his accuser.
Well, let me just say this. I'll say to you, Mr. Republican Talking Points, what I said to the President of the United States.
Mr. When Republican Talking Points.
She was very angry.
I'll say to you, Mr. Republican Talking Points. you like that?
It was a little early for her. I think this happened at 11 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, this is way too early. She's been out all night. I mean, the intern blood supply is very low right now. It's very low. She's very nasty. Mr. Right Wing Talking Point.
Well, let me just say this. I'll say to you, Mr. Republican talking points, what I said to the president of the United States.
Mr. Meaty Pants. Where's the outrage from the White House press corps that she called them Mr. Republican talking points? Isn't that intimidation against the journalism community, the First Amendment?
Yes.
She's essentially calling him fake news, right?
I believe that, yes, that he's just fake news and he's a plant. If the president said that about James, what's his face, the idiot,
Jim Acosta,
if he called him Mr. Democrat talking points, it'd be, this is an outrage, the First Amendment, this is an assault on the Constitution, our democracy, democracy dies in darkness, blah, 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 you know. She goes, Mr. Republican talking point, and they go, wow, that's a good one. She got him, good one. Go get him.
Brave.
Fangs were out yesterday, were they not? Fangs were out. It's a sin. This is nonstop talk because you don't change the station. We're not going anywhere.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
An hour of nonstop talk, and you don't even have to pay for it. Isn't that great? It's a beautiful thing about talk radio. We're happy to bring this to you. Thank you for being here. It means a lot. 855-839-1210 is our number. 855-839-1210. I always like to also, by the way, tie these things together for you because the media doesn't do this, and I try to. There's going to be a lot more on John Brennan next week. I have a hunch. I have a feeling we're going to be discussing him more and more. On Monday, I'm going to tell you about a very special live broadcast we're doing on Tuesday. So Monday at 6 a.m., I'll make the announcement. Very cool. That's all I can say at this moment. That's all I can say. But I think you're going to be excited. So tune in Monday at 6 a.m. to hear the announcement. I mean, start at 5:30, but by 6, I'll make the announcement. Now, so this is the vampiric one yesterday. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, she knows this impeachment thing's not going her way. And when things don't go her way, she gets very, very nasty. She gets angry. She puts, but she started it with a heavy heart. See, that's funny because she started the whole day with a heavy heart. And, I'm just trying to think of the great showdown between her and God at some point, which I think is coming. But 3B.
Considering all that they're doing and all the hearings and all the depositions that are coming, that there's any way that the House could not impeach with all of this work regardless.
Perhaps you have not heard me when I have said.
Maybe you should open your ears. Huh? Maybe you should get a Q-tip.
He's really upset.
It's nasty. The fangs are out.
Oh, man.
Why don't you go with that little thing between your ears and get the wax out, huh? Huh? Maybe you didn't hear me. You need a miracle ear? Huh? A hearing aid? Nasty. Go ahead.
Perhaps you have not heard me when I have said, this is something we're do with a heavy heart. This is very prayerful.
Prayerful.
Because impeaching is a divisive thing in our country. It's hard. And the place that our country is now, it's not a time where you go to 70% when President Nixon walked out of the White House. It wasn't there before he left, even 2 weeks before he left. It wasn't there until the other shoe fell and he walked out the door. And by the way, what President Trump has done on the record in terms of acting to advantage a foreign power to help him in his own election and of the obstruction of information about that, the cover-up makes what Nixon did look almost small.
It's like that time in 1412.
She
remembers it well.
She remembers that very, very well. Yeah. Yeah. It is worse because Trump did that. He did this, that. Spit it the hell out.
If you look at the clip of her taking this press conference, she has like a red blazer on it. She has a tissue stuffed in her arm. Her arm sleeve. And I'm just thinking about, like, oh, God.
Like a librarian.
The nuttiness and the nonsense and the grossness.
This red jacket hides the blood. If I spill anything,
she has to wipe it up.
Yeah, this is my bib. It blends right in. Give me an intern. The vampiric one, I get a little nasty, and she gets, the droplets of blood go right in. I got this napkin in case my...
It happens.
Like, who's the one that goes around her and goes, Madam Speaker, a little blood on the left fang. Left fang. Thank you. It pulls out the tissue. Prayerful. I'm very prayerful. Me and God are going to have some
word.
Big standoff one day.
This is very prayerful.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. It's just so mean. Mean and nasty. She also said that she's now accusing the president of bribery, by the way. Let's see if she can make a coherent argument on that. Cut one.
Yesterday, you heard an appointment of the president speak in very unambiguous terms. A courageous public servant. The devastating testimony corroborated evidence of bribery uncovered in the inquiry, and that the president abused power and violated his oath by threatening to withhold military aid and a White House meeting in exchange for an investigation into his political rival, a clear attempt of the president to give himself the advantage in the 2020 election. Doing so, as I've said to the president, jeopardize our national security, undermine our national security, jeopardize the integrity of our electoral system, violate your oath of office.
Okay. So, go ahead, sorry. Is it over?
I salute chairmanship for the dignity and the statesmanship that he brought and the members of the Intelligence Committee.
Now, remember that that's a script, right? Let's contrast that with how she tries to explain what the president did without the script, because this is what I mean. This woman's in charge of the House of Representatives. Let's go back to 3B for a moment and then understand her trying to explain what the president did wrong without reading her talking points. 3B. Hang on.
That they're doing all the hearings and all the depositions that are coming.
No, 3B, Greg, the heavy heart. Heavy heart, 3B.
That is this one.
Is it okay?
Yeah. I'll move up.
Okay.
Perhaps you have not heard me when I have said, this is something we're very, do with a heavy heart. This is very prayerful. Because impeaching is a divisive thing in our country. It's hard. And the place that our country is now, it's not a time where you go to 70% when President Nixon walked out of the White House. It wasn't there before he left, even 2 weeks before he left. It wasn't there until the other shoe fell and he walked out the door. And by the way, what President Trump has done on the record in terms of acting to advantage a foreign power to help him in his own election and of the obstruction of information about that, the cover-up, makes what Nixon did look almost small.
You see, without the talking points, she doesn't know what the hell the president did wrong. She's got to go back to the script. Otherwise, she doesn't know. She can't explain it. That to me right there is so telling, that the Speaker of the House of Representatives can't even really explain what the president did wrong without reading from a script. That is just amazing to me. It really is. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210 is the Zioli Show on Twitter at Rich Zioli. And let's say good morning to Dawn on this beautiful morning.
And good morning. Happy Friday. 33 degrees. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Zioli Show News brought to you by National Appliance Warehouse. So a Newtown Square man will spend up to 51 years behind bars in that deadly drunk driving crash that led to the proposal of Deanna's Law. This is Deanna Ekman, killed back in February when the drunk man struck her vehicle while driving on the wrong side of the road in Upper Chichester. And you remember the story, her husband seriously injured in that crash. Police say it was David Strohauer's number six for his DUIs. Deanna's Law would increase jail time for people convicted of 4 DUIs or more, among many other things. So Vineland police say a middle school student poured some toilet water into another child's water bottle. And police say the child, drank from the bottle.
Oh.
So authorities actually charged the 13-year-old student with aggravated assault and tampering with a food product. And they took the 7th grader into custody.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Who's come now, on.
Yeah, with a guardian, not with the family, pending additional court hearings. The student's name, you know, is not being released because the student obviously is a 7th grader. So there's no word that the intended target got sick. But this kid taken like away from, you know, their parents.
This is what I mean. This is crazy. That's the kind of stupid pranks we did when we were kids. You know what I mean? You just did stupid things as kids. It's got to become a criminal matter. and the kid's got to get hauled away and go to child. It's just ridiculous. I mean, perhaps there's more to this that I'm missing, but this sounds really like an overuse here, you know, overreach.
Yeah, as a parent, I would lose my mind if they just took, like, the school calls or the police call and say, you know, your child won't be coming home from school because they're in custody.
I mean, the crap we did as kids, we could never get away with it today. I'd be in prison right now, the stuff we did as kids, based on this society we're in. Holy cow. Well, continue to follow that for us, if you would, please.
Yeah, absolutely. A school lunch debate heating up, obviously, in the suburbs in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Quakertown School District taking a vote because they say parents are not paying up in their children's lunch debt. They're equating this to dine and dash. So Quakertown Community School District voting to penalize all students who rack up a school lunch debt. They voted 7-2 last night. A lot of people, this is very controversial. Some people are speaking out still this morning, very upset about it. But students, they say, look, they've racked up a total of $27,000 worth of unpaid lunch bills. Somebody's got to pay. So moving forward, they give parents a 30-day notice. And they'll even meet with the school principal. They can work out a payment plan, whatever. But if they don't settle this up within that 30-day period, the student won't be allowed to participate in extracurriculars or even graduation. So if that debt exceeds $1,000, the matter goes to a collection agency. And as we head into this weekend's big Patriots-Eagles matchup, a Birds fan is grateful and doing great recovering since receiving a kidney donation from a Patriots fan. So this is a great little story. It all started when diehard Eagles fan Patty Pizzamenti, she needed a kidney transplant due to a genetic disease. So she's on a transplant waiting list for 2 years. Her daughter-in-law donated a kidney to a stranger through a transplant exchange. It's like a quid pro quo kidney exchange program, but it's a transplant exchange program at Yale New Haven Hospital in Connecticut. So they took her kidney, and then somebody else in dire need, they donated. So she ends up getting a kidney. The donor, John Houlihan, is a huge Patriots fan from Connecticut.
Yeah, I don't know if I would take a Patriots fan's organ. I'm not sure I would do that.
But
very nice story, though. Absolutely.
It is. It's a sweet little story. Just weather, you know, it's okay today. It's mild today, and I'll get to that in a sec. But, you know, grab your snow pants and your snow boots because it's going to be Blue Mountain. All the resorts are opening early in the Poconos because we have all the snow and precipitation. So in their history, they've never had this early of this grade of snow. And on the opposite side, a record-breaking event makes you wish you were in Key West singing some Jimmy Buffett, making history with its 232nd consecutive day of temperatures reaching at least 80 degrees. Key West. Just picture that. The water's like 82 degrees, too. Oh. Eyewitness weather, 53 today, partly sunny. The weekend drops to 40, partly sunny tomorrow. But for Sunday's big game, a chance for some showers. So it could be raw and rainy. Take advantage of the biggest savings of the year at National Appliance Warehouse, where it's Black Friday all month. This comes but once a year. Huge discounts, up to 40% all the major brands, always the lowest price, and easy to find in tax-free Wilmington. Dawn's Yoli Show News, always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. We are moments away from the day two of the impeachment hearing with Mila Yovanovitch, who will be testifying, the former ambassador. What to watch for today? I'll give you a little bit of I've been telling you I'll talk about that, but I've been distracted by a million other things today. But that's what's happening on Capitol Hill. Now, who is she? Why does it matter? And what are they going to ask her about today? A couple key points. All right. Trump removed her from her position, which is absolutely the president's right to do. But they're going to focus on that. They're going to focus on that. The president recalled her as a diplomat. That's their big nugget here, that he did that, which is completely within his constitutional powers. The details of her and why she was brought back, that's going to be the personal ordeal that she'll describe to the Americans and the world as part of the Democrat-driven impeachment inquiry against the president. What led to her firing, Democrats say, is a key chapter in Trump's holdup of military aid while he, this is the AP writing this, while he pressured Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden's son. Now, that's not what happened, but that's the AP. Was she an obstacle to corruption and a casualty of a bribery scheme, or disloyal to a president fully empowered to choose his own ambassadors? And how will Trump and his allies treat what he called the woman as she speaks out for the first time? That's going to be today at 9 a.m. So they're going to portray her as this brave woman who was trying to stand in the way of the president and his attempts to keep the military aid in exchange for the investigation. That's what they're going to try to present her as. She had twice served as an ambassador to the Kyrgyz Republic and to Armenia. She was confirmed as a U.S. ambassador to Ukraine in a Senate voice vote in July of 2016. She testified that there were people looking to hurt her. One senior Ukraine official said she needed to watch her back. Asked in the private session whether she felt threatened, she said yes. After her firing, more of the story began to come out. Yovanovitch said she was told that the State Department had been under pressure from Trump to remove her from Ukraine since the summer of 2018. Now, I think the president should have removed everybody who was confirmed under Barack Obama. I think that's going to be one of the big mistakes here, is that there's so many people entrenched who don't like him. I mean, he's surrounded by people like that, And because they didn't completely cleanse and fire everybody, they should have fired everybody, and just started fresh. That's what they should have done. Honestly, you could have found some guy wearing a MAGA hat at a Trump rally who drives a truck who would have been fine to put in that position, in my mind, versus somebody who's going to use their deep state powers to try to undermine the president because they don't like the fact that he won and they're an Obama person. You know what I mean? But that, he's surrounded by people like that, surrounded by that. This is the problem. I told you yesterday that the aid was not held up. The aid, they were doing a process of looking into the corruption of Ukraine, which was standard. There was not a holdup of money in exchange for anything. That all came out in the testimony. And the reason why they had to look into Ukraine, as George Kent testified, was because our money went poof. Remember? It went poof. We had to make sure our money wasn't going to go poof again. And USAID, USAID, was also looking into the corruption in Ukraine to make sure, and they weren't going to partner with them on things until they figured out if Ukraine had moved forward enough with their anti-corruption practices. This is also why I think the president was set up here. I do. I think the president was set up. When George Kent said they were going back to looking at when the prosecutor who was looking into Burisma fled Ukraine, $23 million of our money went poof, and they wanted to make sure it was never going to happen again. They were asking a lot of questions. USAID was asking questions. I think what happened is somebody told the president to also ask about Burisma and Ukraine when he was on the call with the president. I think they set him up. I'm 100% convinced of this now, because they were already asking the questions. It wasn't like this was out of thin air. They were literally, as George Kent testified, literally asking the question to try to understand if more of our money was going to go poof. He said in his testimony, I have the fiduciary responsibility. President has the ultimate fiduciary responsibility. And I think in that call, someone probably said, we got to make sure the president asks Ukraine about Burisma, which is what the epicenter of that prosecutor, the corrupt prosecutor who fled with our money, and it went poof. And no one was ever prosecuted in Ukraine. That's the point George Kent was making yesterday.
Yeah, the first case that we tried to recover that money came from Mr. Zlochevsky. The Serious Crimes Office in the UK had already opened up an investigation. They worked with us and the Ukrainian authorities to develop more information. The $23 million was frozen until somebody in the General Prosecutor's Office of Ukraine shut the case, issued a letter to his lawyer, and that money went poof.
So essentially paid a bribe to make the case go away.
That is our strong assumption, yes, sir.
Okay. Now, at any point in time, has anyone in the Ukrainian government tried to reinvestigate that, or did those crimes just go unpunished, and was he free to go?
Mr. Zlochevsky spent time, as far as I understand, in Moscow and Monaco after he fled Ukraine. We continued to raise as a point of order that because U.S. taxpayer dollars had been used to try to recover frozen assets, that we have a fiduciary responsibility, and we continued to press Ukrainian officials to answer for why alleged corrupt prosecutors had closed a case, and we have, till now, not gotten a satisfactory answer. So, to summarize, we thought that Mykola Zlochevsky had stolen money. We thought a prosecutor had taken a bribe to shut the case, and those were our main concerns.
And are you in favor of that matter being fully investigated and prosecuted?
I think since U.S. taxpayer dollars were wasted, I would love to see the Ukrainian Prosecutor General's office find who the corrupt prosecutor was that took the bribe and how much it was paid. And that's what I said to the Deputy Prosecutor General on February 3rd, 2015.
But in addition to prosecuting the person that took the bribes, shouldn't the organization or individual that sponsored the bribes be prosecuted?
I would agree that the Ukrainian law authorities should uphold the rule of law and hold people account for breaking Ukrainian law.
So this company, Burisma, involved in lots of criminal activity, correct?
I do not know that.
But over the years, it's been involved in a number of questionable dealings, correct?
I would say that it's the largest private gas producer in the country, and its business reputation is mixed.
So to the extent a new regime is coming in under President Zelensky, it certainly would be fair for the new prosecutor, a genuine prosecutor, to reexamine old crimes that hadn't sufficiently been brought to justice, right?
I believe that the new Prosecutor General, Ruslan Rybashapka, made a statement to that end that they would be reviewing past cases. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, this is a country where those that commit crimes generally never get held to account, so there's a lot to review.
There's a lot to review. Because our money went poof. So now let's return to the transcript with the president, when he's talking to the president of Zelensky. We understand Ukraine paid the prosecutor a bribe. Prosecutor flees the country. Burisma pays the prosecutor a bribe. He flees the country, drops the investigation. Remember, Joe Biden's bragging about they got rid of the prosecutor. And we know that our money went poof, and we know that we've got more money, and we want to make sure we have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that that doesn't happen again, right? And we want to try to get to the bottom of that. So that's an ongoing thing before Donald Trump ever picks up the phone and has a conversation with Zelensky. Remember that? Now, this is the key part of the transcript. I heard you had a prosecutor who was very good and he was shut down, and that's really unfair. A lot of people are talking about that, the way they shut your very good prosecutor down, and you had some very bad people involved. Mr. Giuliani is a highly respected man. He was the mayor of New York City, a great mayor, and I would like him to call you. I would ask him to call you along with the attorney general. Rudy very much knows what's happening, and he is a very capable guy. If you could speak to him, that would be great. The news and the people she was dealing with in the Ukraine were bad news, so I just want to let you know that. The other thing, there's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution, and a lot of people want to find out about that, so whatever you can do with the attorney general would be great. Biden went around bragging that he stopped the prosecution, so if you can look into it, it sounds horrible to me. This is what I think. This is my theory. I don't think Donald Trump is worried about Joe Biden. I don't think Donald Trump has ever been worried about Joe Biden. I don't think Donald Trump ever thought Joe Biden was going to be the nominee. But I think somebody, remember there's like 23 people involved in this call. I think somebody said, we got to get the president to ask about Biden's son. And in doing so, we can then turn around and say he was asking about dirt and his political rivals. I think this was a setup. I am convinced of it. They were already asking those questions. Oh, those questions were being asked. That's what you just heard from George Kent. Those questions were being asked for years. Why is it suddenly a high crime and misdemeanor when the president, who's George Kent's boss, who is the highest fiduciary responsibility of anybody in government, when he asks the exact same questions? It's because he mentioned Biden by name. I think that was intentional. I do not think for a second Donald Trump is concerned about Joe Biden. I don't think he was during this call. I think there are people giving the president information throughout the entire call. This is what happens in these situations. I think somebody slipped a note that said, ask about Biden and Ukraine. And I think the president just asked, because why the hell not? You know, I mean, why wouldn't you not? Biden was bragging about firing the prosecutor. Makes perfect sense. Prosecutor, money's gone. We might give him more money. We got to figure this out. Try to get to the bottom of this. By the way, this is a nonstop talk.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, let me read real quick a piece of listener mail. My formerly... I don't know. What do I got?
Boy, they have to fold their mail better.
They really do, right? Gee. Isn't that something? It's like hot off the presses. My one thing, by the way, is I'm not going to shower anymore.
Oh, to save the water?
To save the water. I'm also not going to do laundry. You know, they did a survey about people who, how often they reuse their underwear. I saw this. This is amazing to me. And people admit, they actually admit that they do, that they wear the same underwear more than one day.
That is nasty.
Not nasty. It's gross, but it's for the earth. For the, you know, study shows almost half of us do not change our underwear every day. I think a lot of those people are doing that for the planet. You know, they keep washing it. Gross. Gross. from James. Rich, I'm back in the city of brotherly love again after 30 years in Los Angeles. Listening to your morning show, I noticed how rude you are to the callers if they disagree with your political arguments or if they cannot answer a yes or no to the rather silly political questions you pose.
Silly.
Now, I remember why Philly was rated number one rudest city in America. How do you get away with such obnoxious radio programming? Show some class. James, clearly 30 years in La La Land has made you a snowflake. Come back. Just do an Eagles game on Sunday. You'll be back in no time. That's the therapy you need. You freaking crybaby. I have another wonderful email, by the way. This is from Mark. Mark sent this regarding my son's birthday. Rich, today it's November 11th, Veterans Day. Today is a very different meaning for different people. For you, it's a joyous occasion celebrating your son's birthday. For veterans and their families, it's a day of appreciation. For my own family, it marks the one-year anniversary of my father's passing. He was a veteran. While you did lose a listener that day, you gained another. My dad used to listen to your show and always commented on how he enjoyed the mix of politics and humor. Getting a little choked up here. Even during his last few days in the hospital, I would bring my Bluetooth speaker and have it on in the background during the afternoon. He even met you once at a fair in media a few years back. For me, as I... Didn't that, imagine that they bring the show to the hospital and... That makes me so happy to hear that, by the way. I can't even tell you. For me, as I've done probably every day this year, I will listen to your show nowadays on podcasts a little later. I used to listen live in the afternoon, but I'm not up early enough in the morning and too busy at that time anyway, getting the kids up and out the door for school. As a self-employed general contractor, I pop in my ear pods and listen while working during the day. Sometimes my clients look at me oddly while I start laughing hysterically, seemingly randomly, megaphone Bernie every time. Hopefully the corporate shills will get on it and open that store so we can get our Zioli Army shirts. Would love to make it to an event and meet you. I really enjoy the show and mostly your insight and take on things. Thanks for keeping me entertained every day and for making Dad laugh years ago. Mark and Aston. Thank you, Mark. That's fantastic. Frame that.
That's beautiful.
A little bit better than that snowflake jerk from L.A.,
right? That's
right. See that? Dawn's crying. Look, she's crying.
That's great.
We did it.
You should give her a tissue. She's stuffed tissues
in
there.
I was looking for my tissues.
Hey, but to the other guy, the guy who said I was rude, this is what I... Ready?
Here's the
Stop
thing.
Stop the hammering.
Nut job. Yeah. Yes, Dawn.
No, what he doesn't know is that Mama Zioli would know. If she thinks anything's rude, she's right there. She's texting, right? She's just saying, now be nice.
Yeah, yeah. Be careful, baby. Be nice to the callers, baby. Yes. They're coming down today, by the way. So I can only imagine what... I'm going to try to get some more... I'm trying to capture more of Mama Zioli, you know? I got to try to do that.
Yeah, you got
to
get that for us.
Got to do it.
Oh, be careful, baby.
It's going to be a lot of that today. A whole lot of that. I was thinking, though, Bernie is back. He's sexy Bernie now. I'll tell you a little bit about why his heart attack was the best thing for him, according to Politico. The best thing for Bernie Sanders was having a heart attack.
What?
Now he gets to pal around with hot young socialists, and he's back. He's got his mojo back, better than ever. I swear, I kid you not, why Bernie's heart attack was good for him. Politico.com. Why his heart attack was good for him. Amazing. I'll play that for you. And I got to ask the question. I got to ask this question here. What about impeaching the president over not supporting the Green New Deal? So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her beau, Bernie Sanders... she's not concerned about... She's with him always on the campaign trail. It's
the two of them.
Yeah, the two of them. It's like Bonnie and Clyde now. She's not concerned about the impeachment thing not going their way because, well, cut eight.
I'm not concerned about it because the thing that we show with the impeachment of the president is that we can hold the White House accountable and also build our future at the same time. Yeah! This is not an either-or proposition. I'm sure Republicans would like to lead you to believe that this place shuts down, but we just came from votes right now over here. So we're passing this agenda. We're centering everyday working people, and I absolutely refuse for any day that I am a member of Congress to not spend that time fighting for our community. And that's what this is all about.
Trump should be impeached, and he will be impeached.
We're going to try to take it low and slow here. Low and slow. Not going to yell. Going to be nice and slow and savvy. Trump should be impeached. What do you think, baby?
Trump should be impeached, and he will be impeached.
Let's blow this joint.
But that does not mean that we neglect or ignore the other major crises facing this country, whether it is the housing crisis and the particular tragedies existing in public housing, in Vermont, in New York, all over this country.
I got to tone it down. I'm getting my entire... Deep breath. Do your yoga in your head. And picture her in yoga pants again.
No, it's not.
And the global crisis of climate change.
Starting to heat up.
All right. We are mature enough as a nation to walk and chew bubble gum at the same time.
Yeah. Let him know,
buddy. One more thing. Let's not pretend.
I can't stand when she interrupts me. I can't stand it. I was on a roll, but I'm going to stand right behind her and look at, you know what I mean?
Let's not act or pretend that Donald Trump is not a climate crisis unto himself.
Unto himself.
He has put foxes in the hen house, in the charge of EPA, in charge of public housing, in charge of virtually every federal agency that we have. And so if we want to protect our planet, we also, you know, we also need to make sure that holding the president accountable in this White House is a part of that.
Well, impeach him over his stance on the environment. Right? Bruce and Devin. Bruce, that's a great comment. What is it?
Hey, Richard, the way I see you, she was really fighting for her constituents when she kicked Amazon and 65,000 high-end jobs out of her community. What a joke.
Well said, brother. Well said. Thank you for that. Excellent. 855-839-1210. All right. Let's. You want to get a burger? Vegan? Yeah, me and you will get that Beyond Burger.
Trump should be impeached.
I feel like dancing tonight. What do you think? Go down low and slow. I'm going to make sure. Tone it down. Oh, this young socialist hottie, she's almost 30 and then I'm done. Bernie's rule is 30 and done.
Wow.
Yeah, did you know that?
They get a little long in the tooth. 30?
Yeah, at 30 is when it's enough, Dawn. You know what I'm saying? At that point, you're just an old broad in his eyes.
That's right. 29 is his cut, definitely his cutoff.
This, I mean, with the body, yes, the butterface with the teeth, but she's got about 2 months left, and then Birdie ditches. It's what I do. What sexy Birdie does, I'll get a new recruit. But for now, here we go with her nonsense on the Green New Deal. Does she have any idea that nobody... Calm down. Take it slow. All right, let's go get some milkshakes. I can walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. Do you like bubble gum?
Bubble gum.
Yeah. Isn't it just... That's what I mean. He likes them young. He's a bubble gum.
Get some of that bazooka gel.
Yeah. Would you like Hubba Bubba? How would you like a nice Hubba Bubba? That's her nickname for me. Hubba Bubba. That's what AOC calls me when it's just me and her on the campaign bus. If the bus is rocking, don't come knocking. He can't help himself. Sexy Birdie is just out of control. He's out of control.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.